I have a Spotify account on my phone. I don't know if you do. Several people in our family have them. The friendly computer at Spotify chooses two or three daily mixes for me. The songs that the computer thinks I'm going to enjoy as I head off to work or as we eat around the kitchen table. And this particular psalm, 128, is song number 9 in one of what we might call God's playlists that we've been working through for the last few Sundays. And these are songs for what I think we could call God's pilgrim playlist. A set of songs for God's people to sing on their way to Jerusalem. They went up to the same city, same time of year, every year, year after year, with these particular songs to sing on the way. Again, I don't know if you have your favourite playlist at home. So we're thinking about the function of a playlist, a party mix, for example, or a kind of a relaxing after-work mix. Friday night, I just need something that's going to kind of leave the week behind, get me into the weekend. Or a kind of set of songs on a particular theme, or a road trip kind of play mix. There are all sorts that are offered to us, a particular kind of genre of music. What's this kind of play mix doing? Here is a set of songs gathered together by God for that journey, a repeated journey. Some of us go on holiday, don't we? Every year to the same place, same time of year, to the same house, to do the same walks, to go eating the same and we just love it. It helps to do that. We kind of find ourselves again, and we can go back and do another year all over again having done that. Well, this play mix is a mix that reminds God's people who God is. It reminds them who they are. It reminds them where they're going and why they're going there and why that matters and what happened when they get there and more. And as we drop in, if you're with us just for today, where we are along the way, this is, I say, number 9 in the list. And this one belongs with last week's song. They're a pair. Both songs are about God's blessing at work and God's blessing at home. But last week, remember that unless the Lord builds the house, if you've got Psalm 127 open, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. There is work for us to do, building houses, taking on responsibilities. But the song knows that actually, unless in the life of the church or the family or the world around us, it's God who does everything that counts, that's essential for the work to endure. Unless we remember that, we're in danger of working in ways that will turn out to be futile. So last week's song, if you like, is still with us as we come to this week's song. Still going around in our heads, we're still humming it. You know what happens with children's songs? Sometimes they're still with you, aren't they, in ways during the week. You think, oh, that's really got into my head. And last week's song needs to be kind of in our heads as we come to this one. It's essential that the Lord works for anything that we work at to endure. And with that in mind, today's song invites us to enjoy the promises of God and then share in the life of God and then walk in the ways of God. So here's where we're heading for the next few minutes together. We're going to run through some of the details. We'll then step away from the details, think about how this song looks forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and set this song alongside his life and his death. And then we'll think about some practical implications for our lives. So if you like headings, here's the first one. Enjoy the promises of God. And this applies to the first 4 verses of our song today. You see in verse 1, there is blessing. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. And then if you look again in verse 4, there is more blessing. Yes, says the singer, this will be the blessing for the person who fears the Lord. So blessing at the start of verse 1, blessing in the middle of verse 4, and it's God's blessing. It's God's blessing of his gift of life, God's blessing of his gift of true happiness, of a kind of direction and purpose, relationship with him. Now look at verse 1 and ask the question, who is God's blessing for? And verse 1 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Then we go back to the other blessing verse, verse 4 again, and you see it says the same thing. It says, yes, this will be the blessing for the person who fears the Lord. So blessing and fearing the Lord are connected in verse 1 and in verse 4. The blessing is promised to the person who fears the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? I once spent some time with a psychologist doing a placement on a summer sort of work thing when I was a student. And she spent a lot of time helping other people with their fears. I spent a lot of time working through, desensitizing people to their fears. But she herself was terrified of spiders. And she decided she was going to change the color of her bath so that she could see the spiders rather than risk getting into the bath with a spider. It's kind of, she had a completely irrational, uncontrollable fear of spiders, which she wasn't prepared to address. This is not that kind of fear. We're not kind of talking about in one sense, trivial fear, but certainly life-changing fear. What we are talking about here is the kind of awareness that God is God. The kind of awareness that God is big and we are small. That God is good and we are not. Remember that God is love. And again, we are often not. Remember that phrase in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." That's a prayer that produces a life in which God grows bigger and bigger and bigger as the years go by, as we pray that prayer. And today's song knows that the person who learns to honour God as God in all the ways that he is God, he is creator and we are creature, he is holy and we're not, that person learns to enjoy his promises and his blessing. And so we started in verses 1 and 4 and looked at blessing linked with the fear of the Lord. Now dip into verses 2 and 3 and see a couple of examples of God's generosity. One out on the farm in verse 2 and one at home in the family in verse 3. And the you in these verses is singular. So if you like, these are samples of God's promised blessings for individuals. And as we come to them and see that the fruit of labour on the farm and fruit at home are God's blessings, it's important to remember that God doesn't have to bless anybody. And that God can't be made to bless anybody. And that God doesn't necessarily give to everybody exactly these blessings. Think about Jesus. God didn't give to the Lord Jesus a wife and a kitchen table surrounded by sons. God gave to Jesus the gift of singleness along with many, many spiritual children. And God gives to Jesus what the Bible calls a kind of husband and wife-like relationship with us as his people. So if we set Jesus alongside these blessings, it becomes clearer to us that these are, if you like, typical examples of God's generosity, the gift of fruit on the farm and the gift of fruit at home. And think about God's people on that journey with this kind of pilgrim playmix as they sing this song together on the way to a city that's familiar, following a path that's the same year by year. Why sing these particular words? Do you see how the song that God gives us reminds them individually, reminds them personally of God's character and kindness? And as they walk together towards God's city, pace after pace, bringing them nearer to the God who's already shown such kindness to them, the song is an invitation freshly to enjoy God's promises, the reality of God's blessing, the promise of God's blessing as they walk and as we walk through another week, pace by pace, even if we've done August before, even if we've done what the week ahead has in store for us before. We're being invited to, as we serve God outside the home, know God in the home, wherever there's fruit in our work, wherever we did the work, it was always him who gave the fruit. It was always his achievement. But the song invites us to recognize that he loves to bless, promises to bless, and that we can walk through this next week enjoying those promises and experience his blessing personally and together. The second half of the song moves from what we might call the personal to the plural. They're moving from God's blessing on the farm and in the home towards an individual believer as part of a group to God's gift of life to his people as a whole. So again, if you like headings, our second one is this. Share in the life of God. And that's verses 5 and 6. Now, do you look in verse 5? It begins with a prayer. Do you see in verse 5? May the Lord bless you. And the language of the prayer echoes the first part of the song. In verse 5, it's a prayer for prosperity, do you see? Just as it was in verse 2. Blessings and prosperity in verse 2 is prayed for in verse 5. It was promised in verse 2. It's prayed for in verse 5. And in verse 6, you see the prayer, may you live to see your children's children. It's again children as it was in verse 3. It's promised, it's prayed for in verse 6, and it was promised in verse 3. And the song ends with a prayer for peace for God's people as a whole. So what's the link between, if you like, the promise of God's blessing in the first part of the song and the prayer for God's blessing in the second part of the song? Why does the song teach God's people to pray for the blessing that God already promises? You see, God invites us to ask for the blessings he's already promised as a way of bringing home to us that it's only his blessing that enables us to enjoy life with a capital L. We receive fullness of life, as Jesus describes it. Fullness of life as his blessing and fruitfulness in life as his blessing. And he loves for us to ask for what he's promised to give to us. Again, the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember how the Lord's Prayer, we've already prayed this together. Give us today our daily bread. Why do we pray that when God has already promised to care for his children, to feed his children, and to clothe his children? Because he loves us to ask. He loves us to ask as we share in his life. To ask, to recognize that it's his as a gift to us. And so as we go to work tomorrow, today's song reminds us that however hard we work, it's only God's blessing that enables us to do anything worthwhile there, but that we can ask him to help us to serve him there. God gives us the gift of marriage, again the gift that he didn't give to Jesus. The birth and growth of children are only ever a gift and blessing from him. But if our life is enriched by giving ourselves in love to them, we can ask him to help us to love them in the ways that they need to be loved by us tomorrow. But then why does our song pray for God's blessing to come to his people? Do you see where from? Verse 5. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Another word for Jerusalem. See, back then, the source of God's blessing was God's chosen city, God's chosen location where his people were going to gather to meet with him and to receive his blessing. And they're praying that when they get there, they'll receive blessing from him there. Now, we're not on that kind of journey. Some of us may have had the privilege to go on business, on holiday to Jerusalem, but we don't need to go there to receive God's blessing. For us as Christians on this side of Easter, God's blessing comes to us, as we'll sing in a bit, from the risen Jesus Christ. As he sits at the right hand of God, God's blessing reaches us by the power of his Holy Spirit. From that risen Jesus, on that throne, in God's heavenly city, which is where we are travelling as we walk through this life towards the heavenly city where the Lord Jesus Christ will ultimately meet with us. So again, I want you to imagine God's people walking together towards God's home, traveling towards God's chosen city, singing the songs they sang last year as they were on this same journey back then. See how the song was teaching them to pray, and how the same song teaches us to pray. You see, the song encourages us in the first half to enjoy God's blessings personally on the farm or at home or wherever it may be, and then to share in God's life together. The kind of life that has a capital L, fullness of life, that is his gift to us. So look at the prayer, verse 5. May the Lord bless you. Second line in verse 5. May you see the prosperity of the people of God. Verse 6. May you live to see your children's children. So we're to pray for the church family here. To pray with the whole of our lives in view, looking beyond the urgency of the diary. Looking forward to the lives of our children's children, our shared children's children. And the song reminds us to pray for God's blessing on his people as a whole, all around the world. So how will our song shape us in the week ahead? I don't know what your diary has got in store for you, nor do you. I don't know what the family have got in store for you, nor do you. None of us knows what even tomorrow may bring. Well, how will this song help us as we walk into this coming week? Well, that brings us to our third point. Walk in the ways of the Lord. And we're back in verse 1. Look at verse 1. Do you see what it says? It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. And the picture of verse 1 is a pathway, if you like, a track that stretches ahead of us day by day and pace by pace. If you like, it's a path a route that marks out the path of obedience. And our response to God's blessing, conscious of his blessing, conscious of the absolute necessity of his presence and he doing all that matters, what's our response to that? It is to obey, to walk in his way, and to walk on his path, grateful, trusting, but walking on his path rather than our own. Again, last week's song insisted that unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. It's God who does what counts. Think about a field. My father was a farmer. It's a harvest time of year. And then, before you know it, the seed is sown for the next year. Outside in a field on a farm, one man might do the sowing, another man might be involved in watering, or in our world, spraying. Somebody else will do the harvesting, somebody else will do the subsequent cultivating. But it's always God who gives the growth. Today's psalm hasn't forgotten that it's God who gives the growth. We do the walking, yes. We obey his word. We stay on his path. But it's always God who gives whatever is good, whatever blessings we receive as we walk and work, if we marry, or raise a family. We never earn any of his blessings. It's not a kind of a quid pro quo. We were taken round a Sikh setting not so long ago from college, and the person who was in charge there got up and said, in the spiritual realm, it's a quid pro quo. Whatever you invest is what you get out of it. The more you invest, the more you receive. That's a million miles away from the truth of scripture, the truth as it really is, that we receive and receive and receive and receive, and whatever we give is only a matter of gratitude. So would you for a minute set the blessings of God in today's song alongside the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked towards Jerusalem, towards his death on the cross, that vivid part of Luke's gospel where he is on the way, the way of obedience. And he never set a foot wrong. Some of us, we want to walk on the way of obedience. We're not quite sure what the next obedient step will look like. Sometimes it feels like there are only least worst options as to what obedience is going to involve in a particular situation or a relationship or a tricky challenge that we haven't been able to solve easily for some time. But the Lord Jesus never put a foot wrong, never stepped even for a moment off the path. And yet these sort of typical blessings, instead of blessings of God, it would have been natural to shower upon him. The Lord Jesus took the curse of God on himself instead of us. And as the Lord Jesus, as Claire mentioned earlier, died on the cross in our place, he died under the curse of God, so that we who deserve the curse of God can receive the blessings of God instead. And the psalm makes that especially clear as we look from the psalm to Jesus and back. And we know we've all strayed from God's path in all sorts of ways. And isn't, again, today a fresh day, as we did earlier, to seek God's forgiveness for our waywardness? And for some of us, today may be a good day, actually, deliberately to return to the path that we've deliberately wandered off, either suddenly or gradually. Now is a good moment to ask for God's help to return to that path and renew our relationship with him. For others, it might be a moment now to just say thank you, God, to God, freshly, for the blessings we've received recently, or over the span of our life as a whole. Whether those blessings, if you like, are outside the home in the family of God, in person from the Lord Jesus, and sense a direct consciousness of his grace and goodness to us, why not spend a moment when we pray to say thank you? I guess for others of us, this notion of walking in obedience to God is exceptionally costly right now. Whether that may be at work, where the cost is hard to count, or the cost is painfully clear. Or at home, there's an issue where we kind of think we know what obedience involves, but we also know what will happen. Or in our own hearts, we're wrestling with a conviction that there is a right path, but we're under a pressure that comes from ourselves to take a different path. And again, wouldn't now be a good moment to thank the Lord Jesus for being willing to submit to the curse of God so that we can live through life and pass through death under the blessing of God, and ask for his help to walk in his way by his power. If you're a visitor today, let me just say this. So you're brand new to us and think, okay, well, this pilgrim play next is what it is. But just, would you take home with you this first line? Do you see how the first line in the psalm begins? Blessed are all, meaning truly happy. And who are these truly happy people? Well, the line surprises us, doesn't it, by saying that they're those who fear the Lord. But our culture insists, and sometimes this influences all of us, that truly happy people ignore God. Truly happy people give up on God. Truly happy people have no time for God and set themselves free to choose their own path. But our song insists that honouring God and realising his grandeur and power and goodness is not a recipe for misery. It's not, if you like, a subtraction from life. It's the enduring secret of a truly happy life. So if you're new today, will you take that first line home and chew on it? Come back next week and we can talk about the next song on the list and what you made of that particular lyric during the week. And then as a church family, and with this I'm done, as a church family, we're very conscious, aren't we, of God's blessings to us in a whole variety of different ways. Stretching back over the years. He's given us each other. And for some of us, that's been very precious indeed for decades, that he has chosen someone else who is right here to walk alongside us in seeking to obey God. We're grateful to him in the way he's been drawing St. Peter's and Grace Church together. That's an adventure, isn't it, of faith for all of us? But it is an adventure where God is at work and been blessing us, blessing that process. He's given us the team who lead us. He's given us the resources. He's given us spiritual growth and life in our homes. He's brought help to us. He's been at work in our hearts. Now, we know that it's his work that really counts. Yes, we plant, we may water, we may sow, we play our part, but it's only ever God who gives the growth. We know that, and our song knows that. That tune is still with us from last week. But whatever the weeks and months have in store for us that lie ahead of us, whatever shape the path is before us, as we enjoy God's blessings and share together in God's life, let's pray for God's help to walk in his ways and to walk in obedience to him as an expression of our gratitude to him, as the Lord Jesus himself shapes, enables us to follow in his footsteps. As we sit, let's pray together. I'm going to take a moment in quietness from verse 1. I'm going to read the verse, and I'm going to leave you a moment to think about, well, what does that mean for me in this coming week? Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Our Heavenly Father, we don't know what the way ahead has in store for us in this coming week, or looking further ahead through the years. We do know that the Lord Jesus is at the end of it, and we know that he has walked the road ahead of us. We thank you for his willingness to die under the curse of God so that we may live and die under the blessing of God. We thank you for all your goodness in blessing us, for all your kind promises to us. We thank you for the life that you give us and the way in which you've drawn us together to walk alongside each other. And we ask that you'll enable us to live grateful lives, conscious of your goodness and presence, that the work that matters is done by you. Help us, we ask, to play our part. And we ask that the Lord Jesus will enable us and shape his life of obedience in us. And we ask for the honour of his name. Amen.